Welcome to the Warwick Weekly Crypto Podcast, where we dive into engaging conversations with experts, thought leaders, and innovators. And I'm your host, Liana. I'm happy to introduce our guest for today's podcast episode, Richard Levine, VP of Global Sales at Crypto News. Hi, Richard. Thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. And so today's episode pays tribute to Satoshi Nakamoto's birthday, reflecting on the ongoing mystery around the individual or group behind Bitcoin's creation. We'll discuss how Bitcoin has transformed the world of finance and consider what its future might hold amidst this intrigue. So before we start, Richard, could you tell us about your background a little bit more?
Sure. So I have been in the Bitcoin crypto space for 10 years. I work full-time in this space, on different projects. I work with Crypto News. I work with a couple other projects that are launching on different platforms. But I've always been intrigued by Bitcoin, especially. It's always been my first love and always will be my, my go-to. I've fallen pretty far down the rabbit hole. So, everything from the Satoshi to hashing algorithms and cryptography and everything is very fascinating. I like to think I have a wealth of knowledge up here.
That's awesome. What are some of the most fascinating theories or rumors about the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto? And how do they shape our perception of Bitcoin?
I think that for the most part, the mystery adds to the allure, and we don't really know who Satoshi is. Obviously, there's been a huge email dump in March, which had people theorizing, maybe it's this guy, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's Gavin Andreessen, maybe it's Nick Szabo, maybe it's Adam Back or Hal Finney. All these names keep coming up. But, if there's one thing I know about the crypto community, it's that they're very analytical and they're very good at tracking things down. And still, after 15 years, nobody's able to discover who this person or these people are. And, I think in reality, that's a huge benefit to all of us.
I mean, it's a little bit like Wizard of Oz, right? Why do you think the person or group who created Bitcoin chose to stay anonymous?
I think that it was imperative for the project to work. Bitcoin is one of those things that people tend to love or hate. The people who hate it are people I feel like just haven't put in the time to research it or understand it. I've never met anybody who's really taken the time to understand Bitcoin who then said, I hate this. This is a stupid idea. Everybody seems to go, okay, this is wise. But the reason that they probably wanted to stay anonymous is because, this is a decentralized currency that belongs to all of us. And, nobody can drag the CEO of Bitcoin up in front of a Senate committee in Washington, D.C. and say, we want this, we want that, or, this is, needs to be regulated. There's no, Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk to drag in front of Congress. And I think that that's a huge benefit for all of us is that we don't know. And that if it was created by, let's say, a government, it would have been a huge disaster, in my opinion.
I mean, but so do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing that we don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is? Because, recently we've been getting people doxing themselves, right? So, just wanted to, hear your thoughts on that.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we don't know who Satoshi is. I mean, I look at the upside downside of it, and the upside is that it remains a mystery, and we all continue to use this decentralized currency, and we may never know who he is. Maybe he's not alive. But if we did know who he is, then of course, first of all, he becomes one of the wealthiest people in the world immediately, right? So then the spotlight's on him, and then regulators are going to be on him, and the IRS, Senate again, and all these crypto people will, it's just would be a huge attack on one person. So I think the anonymity is a major part of it. And I don't think that we'll ever truly find out who he is. So I think it's a bonus. It's a feature, not a flaw.
Satoshi Nakamoto's anonymity be seen as a form of resistance against institutional authority?
Sure. I think that it was. I mean, if you look at the Genesis block And it says Chancellor is on the brink of, you know, whatever. It was in the middle of the financial crisis. And it was a resistance. It was a resistance against the banking system, against, you know, the Federal Reserve, against this global enterprise of money printers who have allowed big corporations and governments to just destroy the dollar. I mean, we see that now. But look what happened in 2008. I mean, that was brutal for a lot of the world, that the financial crisis. And Bitcoin was born out of that, right? So, you know, I think the first block was 2009. And yeah, it was a form of resistance. It's kind of like, hey, you know, we can do this thing different. We don't need banks. We don't need you. You know, if I want to send $100 million to Paris in 10 minutes, I can do it without you and you can't do anything about it. So yeah, I think it is a powerful form of resistance.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And how do you think Satoshi Nakamoto would view the current state of Bitcoin and the broader cryptocurrency ecosystem?
You know, it's really hard to predict how Satoshi would view what's going on today. But, you know, I would say that he would probably view it as a success because, you know, you walk into a grocery store now and you see a sign that says we accept Bitcoin, or, you know, you're walking through Amsterdam and there's a little Bitcoin center there, or in Paris. And it really doesn't matter. It's become such a global thing. And even the fact that BlackRock and Fidelity got in and all these major institutions, you know, I truly think that he would probably be proud of what he's accomplished or they've accomplished. It's really become a powerful tool. And again, the regulators are always trying to push against it. You have Elizabeth Warren and Gary Gensler always kind of pushing back. But at the end of the day, you know, it's you can't stop it. This big decentralized machine of people who have come together and use it as a store of value and a network, it's really unstoppable. So I think in the end, Satoshi would probably be happy that it's continued. Blocks are still being mined every 10 minutes. The network still works perfectly. Yes, there's volatility. It goes up, it goes down. We have bad actors like FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. But at the end of the day, Bitcoin still always works. You know, blocks are mined. Everything works just like it should.
Yeah. And, you know, there are bad actors everywhere, right? Not just in cryptocurrency ecosystem, right? How does the Bitcoin community manage to keep things together and make decisions without a single boss calling the shots?
I think that that's the power of decentralization and the fact that we have had that attempt to happen a few times. You know, back in 2017, when we had the block size wars, people did that. They wanted to change the size of the Bitcoin blocks, and they set out to do that. There was a huge battle. A lot of people wanted to keep the original Bitcoin. A lot of people wanted to increase the block size. Some people, like Craig Wright, wanted to make it, you know, enormous. So we ended up with Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Bitcoin SV. And those networks, look at that. No one uses them, right? People only use the originals. So I think that even through the bad actors or the FTXs or the collapses, that the community has remained resilient because we all still run on the same network. You know, anybody could come up with a new Bitcoin tomorrow, but will people use it? No. People are going to stick to the Bitcoin network. And all of the nodes around the world that are backing up the blockchain, you know, they have the final say. It's programmed, it's math, and it's code, and it's unchangeable. So I don't think that anything's going to change with that.
Yeah, and in a way, it's really, truly for the people, right? Why do you think nobody's come forward claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto, you know, considering the fame and potential fortune that could come with it?
You know, not everybody in the world wants to be the face of something big. You know, a very, very wealthy person told me once that the best thing you can do if you're wealthy is not let anybody know. You know, remain in the shadows. When you read the Satoshi emails, this was a person who was very much into cryptography, into coding, into building something for society that was much bigger than himself, that was for the people. And it wasn't the kind of guy who wanted to, you know, or it seems that, that he did not want this fame or this kind of limelight on him. And, you know, that's probably why. I mean, I think that, you know, if you look at the people who have claimed to be Satoshi, like Craig Wright, who's always in the news and always in front of people, and it took a court case to get him to finally, you know, admit defeat. There's just kind of two people out there, the people who want that fame and the people that don't. And, you know, maybe the fact is that Satoshi really just did a good thing for the world and faded out into darkness.
Yeah, so with great power comes great responsibility. The building of a decentralized financial system justify the impact on environment? You know, can Satoshi's model be eco-sustainable, you think?
Absolutely. There's a lot of misinformation coming out about Bitcoin mining and the energy use. You know, I'm not going to lie. Of course, it uses a ton of energy. But what people don't realize is that the whole planet has a ton of what we call blow-off energy. So let's say you're running an oil field in Texas and, you know, it's emitting fumes out of the ground and they light it on fire. You see these smoke towers. People have come up with these hash huts where they can attach a mining facility and just take that excess power and use it to mine Bitcoin. There's plenty of, you know, fast moving rivers in Africa that people are putting hydroelectric in. And they're powering entire villages now and mining Bitcoin. All of this stuff is green. You know, it's just kind of an illusion that Bitcoin uses all this energy. And it's kind of a talking point for the media to kind of bash us and say, oh, Bitcoin uses this much energy or that much energy. But I don't see anybody complaining during Christmas when the entire world puts up Christmas lights. You know, how much energy does that take? So I think sustainability wise, yes, you know, we're moving forward, we're progressing with eco-friendly options. And I think that, yes, it is sustainable in the long term.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, if we were to compare our daily usage of energy, right, like people will be shocked, you know. Yeah. So how has the legacy of Satoshi Nakamoto influenced other blockchain projects and cryptocurrency initiatives?
I think that, you know, a lot of the newer projects, obviously Bitcoin was the first mover. You know, it was like Bitcoin, then a bunch of altcoins, and then Ethereum came with smart contracts and became a huge part of the ecosystem. Vitalik, who created Ethereum, was a huge Bitcoiner before that. So I think that every project has a little bit of Satoshi's legacy in it. Now we, you know, a lot of the projects now are doxxed. So we know that, you know, for instance, on Solana, that Anatoly and Raj started that, and they take credit for that, and that's fine. But I think that, you know, every blockchain project has a little bit of Satoshi in it, just in the sense that we're all using the same kind of technology here and blockchain technology. But, you know, I think a lot of the newer projects have just kind of evolved into a newer time space where people, you know, kind of want to know who made it. I think Bitcoin was an anomaly in that it just had to be this anonymous thing for it to work. But I truly think that every blockchain project has a little touch of Satoshi in it.
Yeah, the influence is huge. Can the anonymity of Satoshi Nakamoto be seen as a form of empowerment for individuals in the digital age?
Sure. I mean, you know, the ability to remain anonymous is, you know, is actually, I feel like, a right. You know, you shouldn't have to dox yourself for anything if you don't want to. So, yeah, I think that it is a form of empowerment in a way. You know, I think that a lot of it is shrouded in mystery and intrigue. And but yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, the right to build something amazing and disappear into the shadows is a really interesting, cool thing.
But also, what about if something goes wrong, the accountability, you know, who takes the responsibility?
We do, because we have decided to participate in this network. And we have decided to become our own banks, and we have taken responsibility for that. That being said, there's nothing that's going to go wrong. If you read the code, the Bitcoin code is not very long. It's a very simple code, and it will run and run forever. I mean, you know, as long as the internet is up and all the humans could die off. If the internet's up, Bitcoin's just going to keep running. It's been running for 15 years with almost 100% uptime. And it's a very simple computer system compared to what we were used to today. So if something goes wrong, you know, then it's an anomaly, but there's nothing that's going to go wrong. It's just, if it was going to go wrong, it would have already happened.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you said that, you know, the responsibility is upon us, right? Is Satoshi's vision being followed nowadays, or are we moving towards another model?
No, I think that Satoshi's vision is being followed. You know, he wrote that protocol in 2009, and we're still running basically the exact same thing. You know, we've had upgrades like Taproot and things like that, but the same Bitcoin that's been running since the Genesis block is still running today. So, you know, I think that, you know, we're on track to just keep running the way it is. If it's not broken, why fix it?
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you think the mystery surrounding Satoshi Nakamoto will ever be solved? And what would the revelation mean for the Fed?
I don't know if it will ever be solved. I hope that it doesn't. I hope that there's no sleuth out there that's so interested in finding out who this guy is, or, you know, he's done a lot of work to remain anonymous and he's been pretty good so far. But I think that, you know, if for some reason that he gets outed, of course, it's just going to cause problems, right? This guy's going to have the limelight on him. He'll instantly become one of the wealthiest people in the world publicly, you know, and like I said, a lot of people don't want that fame. And I think it would be a negative effect for Bitcoin. Do I think it would have any real effect on the entire Bitcoin network or what we've all built and worked on? No, but I just don't think that it serves any purpose.
That's awesome. And before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think things for Bitcoin have been going well recently. I know that the Satoshi emails were kind of a revelation moment and everybody had all these guesses. But the fact is that, you know, it was important that Bitcoin was built by, you know, a person or a group and not some government, not some people that could change it. So, you know, hats off to Satoshi for creating something amazing. And look how far we've come. I mean, who would have thought one Bitcoin would be worth $70,000? It's like mind blowing. So, you know, we'll just keep trucking along in the industry. And as the world kind of comes online to this, I think that, you know, we'll all be in a much better place.
And power to the people.
Exactly.
Richard, thank you so much for being here with us today. And your thoughts have really enriched our discussion. Really, it's been fantastic having you here. Thank you so much.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And to all our fantastic listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Don't forget to express your support by liking, subscribing, and sharing this episode. Thank you for tuning in. And until we meet again, stay well.